Good morning. Well, I'm glad you're here. Pastor Paul is away with some family time. Hope he's having a great time. I know his heart, they're having a super time, I'm sure, but as well as he likes to be here, be a part of what's going on. Let me encourage you again, don't forget, next week we are not going to be here. We will be over in Tracy. It's a great opportunity for our families to be together. If you haven't been there, it's not an excuse to say, well, I'm not going to go because they're going to be together. No, that's the best reason to go. We want to encourage our Tracy campus, our Tracy people, and it really is going to be a great time. We've been looking at the series of What's the Recipe? What's the Recipe? And we've asked, we started with What's the Recipe for Life? We looked at what's the essential ingredient for life. We used the analogy of a chocolate chip cookie. That if you take the chocolate chip out of the cookie, your chocolate chip cookie is done. There is no more. It's not a chocolate chip cookie. We looked at the issue of what's the recipe for moms, especially as moms who, you know, the recipe for a great mom is the fact that she loves her kids and that we need to love her, that we need to be in the Word, and we need to give them rest and grace and mercy, and that the way they have the influence in our life. The issue of what's the recipe. Now today we're going to look at something, and you may see this up here. Some of you have walked by. Some of you have partaken of it. Some of you, doesn't that look good? So the recipe, can you see it? I don't dare move it. I'll fall over. Then, and Mike Satora said he'll eat anything that falls from the ground. What's the recipe? I really got an education this week in a lot of different ways because I looked up the recipe for fruit salad. And now I tell you, at first I thought, will there even be a recipe for fruit salad? I mean, do you need a recipe for fruit salad? But evidently, a lot of people do, because there's a lot of recipes out there for fruit salad. And as I thought about that, I mean, somewhat it was funny to me on one hand. On the other hand, I thought, I wonder if people have a favorite recipe. Do you have a favorite recipe for fruit salad? And what does it consist of? I looked at that and I thought, so what is the essential ingredient in fruit salad? You're a bright group. I thought about that. Now, I had to change a little bit because I the essential ingredient in fruit salad. Let me ask you again, what's the essential ingredient in a fruit salad? Watermelon, grapes. Okay, I'm not asking for individual fruits. I'm asking, what's the ingredient for a fruit salad? Many fruits. I mean, I realize if you go to Google it, you get these guys say, okay, this is a pear salad. But it really isn't a pear salad. Or this is an apple salad. This is Waldorf. No, because they add all kinds of stuff to it. If I take, let's see, what do I want this time? This is a nectarine. No, I'm going to do one of these. I did this last time. If I take this apricot, ooh, it's getting ripe too. I should have brought a paper towel up here. Oh, baby. I want you to know that apricot is my favorite fruit of all times. It is. Now, if I take this apricot and I cut it and put it on a plate, I say, we have an apricot salad. Do I have an apricot salad? No, I do not have an apricot salad. I have an apricot. Oh, man. Mike, if I were nice, I'd share this, but I'm not going to. Hang on, let me eat the other half because you wouldn't want it to go to waste. It will go to waste. Mike, you like apricots? You got to try one of these. Oh, man. That's good. Now, pardon me. That was just free. You have to have the idea of a fruit salad, walking around with one fruit. If I take one cherry, that's a Rainier right there. They're kind of sour today. Here's a blueberry. I had a lot more of them, but everybody that's walked by has loved the blueberries right out of the bowl. And they are all lost. If I have one fruit, it's not a fruit salad. I don't care how you cut it, it's not a fruit salad. It's a fruit. And I looked at that, the essential ingredients for fruit salad. And what kind of fruit do you want? Yeah, you want a whole bunch of them. But what kind of fruit do you want in that fruit salad? Think about it. I just ate an apricot that was ripe, okay? You want mature fruit. You want fruit that says, and if I'm going to have a fruit salad, I want mature fruit. I want a fruit that really has something that tastes like something that's really good. I'm not going to go cut into something and have it bad. Pardon me. I want ripe fruit. If I took a plum here, They're really juicy. I won't bite into that. A plum. And I said, okay, I'm going to have a part of a plum in my fruit salad. And it was hard. Have you ever bitten into a hard plum that hasn't ripened? It's ucky. It's that sour. It's, yeah. Okay. That wouldn't make a very good fruit salad. We want mature fruit. Now, the reason you say, where are you going with all this? I think some of you probably know. Some of you already made the analogy that a fruit salad has to have a plethora of fruit. And I want you to know that you are a walking fruit salad because we are fruit bearers. We are to be fruit bearers. We are to be a walking fruit salad in our life. The fruit of our life. John 15, verse 8 says that this is to my Father's glory. That is key to all of this. That our fruit that he produces in our life is to be to his glory. Not that, boy, look at me, I've changed. I used to be this and now I'm this. I used to be the ugly cow I've done. No, it's all to the glory of God. But this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. That when we come to know Christ, we become a walking fruit salad. The issue is that we are to be a walking fruit salad. When I went to the little guy to choose the fruit, I was able to pick and choose. I want this fruit, I want that, I want this, I want that. That didn't look so well, I want this. But when it comes to our walking with God and our fruit that's in our life, it's not a pick and choose, it's a one and done. It's all of them. We are to practice all of these fruit that we're to have. And the growth that we have in the fruit of our life is through the vine. It is not something that says, oh, I'm going to push and have a plum. It is the growth is through the vine. John 15, verse 5. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. If you remain in him, we are grafted in, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If we take our life out of the vine, the fruit of the Spirit that we're to have, the fruits that we're to show in our life, we will do nothing if we take ourselves out of the vine. When we listen to him, when we are in him, and as we're grafted into him, the growth is through the vine. 2 Corinthians 5 says we're new creations. And what has happened within that is that we are grafted in to God. We are grafted in Christ. And when we're grafted into his vine, placed in his vine, we are tied to that. The growth is through the vine. The growth is connected to the living water, he says. The living water. Growth is through the vine. It's for nourishment. You take it out of the vine, it dies. It says if you cut that off and just lay it down there, that vine is going to die. You'll have no fruit. Our life is in the vine. Growth is through the vine. This fruit attached to a vine, to a tree, to a plant. It was attached and it grew and it ripened. And then you pick it and it's a mature fruit and you eat it and put it in your salad. We are grafted in. Now, once you're grafted into the vine, once you are in that process, the end result, what is the end result of being in the vine? It says there, to bear fruit. Are you bearing fruit today? Well, we are of some sort. All of us are bearing fruit in some way. All of us are. Whether it be good fruit, bad fruit, whatever it is, we're bearing fruit. Our life shows something. And the end result is fruit. Now, the fruit he's talking about, Galatians 5, you know this, Galatians 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, God's Spirit that was grafted into us when we came to know him, when we were born in Christ, when we gave him our life, the fruit of the Spirit within us is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such there is no law. He says, this is the fruit of our life. Now, I know some people that I've asked, and growing up I've had that when they say, well, you're supposed to bear fruit, the only fruit they consider is the fruit of salvation, that are you leading people to Jesus? Well, that's a great fruit, and I understand that we're to share our faith. But when the fruit that comes from the Lord in our life is the fruit of the Spirit within our life, the goal is fruit. Now, there are some who believe, and it really doesn't matter to me, I don't think it can be taken either way. However, it does make sense that there's only one essential fruit, and the other eight are from that. And the essential fruit in this is love. That the essential fruit in our life is to be love. Why? Well, 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. And we hear here the Spirit of God, who is part of the Trinity. God is love. The Spirit has placed the love of God within us. He is love. He wants to bear fruit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 Corinthians 13, love is this, love is that. The thing that remains, one thing that remains is the love of God. That's what's going to remain within that. And so many people believe that the fruit of the Spirit in our life is the love of God being demonstrated, and it's demonstrated through those eight areas. Again, it's not a pick and choose, though. Regardless of whether you hold to one fruit and the rest are symptomatic of that or different fruits, it doesn't matter to me. The point is, they're all to be displayed. I didn't go to my dude and say, okay, my little Cambodian man, and say, okay, I need this. I don't like that. I didn't take the basket of strawberries and go through and say, nope, yes, no, yes, no. I didn't do that. I said, okay, but I did say I didn't like this. Now, when we come to the Spirit of God, we're not to do that. It's not a scale that says, well, the fruit of the Spirit is love. I got that down. Or the fruit of the Spirit is joy. I got that down. But patience, no, we're not going to do that. It's a whole package. It's the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. It's all together. I think it's great as you look at this essential fruit of love. As I was just thinking through some of this, is that the essential fruit of love, first off, love is never out of season. Love is never out of season. Isn't it terrible when some of these fruits are out of season and you go to the store and you buy ones that are frozen and you break them up, you thaw them out, try to do something, and they're just not the same. None of the stuff in the store is going to be that's frozen is going to be like any of these that I just got yesterday, and some of them were picked yesterday. It's never out of season. God's love is never out of season, and the love that we're to have in our life is never out of season. We don't take a season off. Well, I'm loving right now, but you know what? I don't have to be loving. I'm on vacation. Or, you just ticked me off. I don't need to be loving now. It's never out of season. Do you realize that the love of God is displayed in our life? Because God is love. That's who He is. The Spirit of God is love. It is never out of supply. You say, well, I can't be loving. Yes, you can. You can, because it's never out of supply. The love of God doesn't run out. Nothing can separate us from it. The love of God is never out of supply. And the fruit in our life, it's not out of season, nor is it going to run out of supply. We don't have a little reservoir that says, well, I only have so many cherries in here. When they're gone, you're gone. No, I have a reservoir that just keeps filled with the love of God. Also, as you look at this, our purpose is to bear fruit. And fruit is the purpose. Fruit is the purpose to what you have in our life. We're to bear fruit. It says He knows. Now, some people say, well, we're not to judge. And I know they quote that verse, judge not lest you also be judged. However, it says that we're to judge because what you see is we're going to judge the fruit of people. We don't judge the motive of their heart. We don't know their walk with God. We don't know that. But we're also to be careful. We're supposed to be merciful and non-judgmental. But there is to be things in our life more so that you see than others see about you. But you say, God's changed my life in this area. Fruit is the purpose. Fruit proves life. Fruit proves life. I mean, the idea of a tree that doesn't bear fruit is that, are you supposed to? Fruit proves life. Have you seen God change your life? Have you seen the things in your life? I know this well for my own life. Early on as a young man, I got in trouble, and I got in trouble because my anger always had the best of me. And I really was the big jolly Billy until you crossed me. And then the angry side came out, and it got me in trouble. And I remember after paying the consequence of some of my troubles, saying, God, I claim to know You. I love You. I don't want that to be characteristic in my life. That fruit has to grow in my life. I've got to be aware of that. I've got to... And over time, I didn't know immediately. It didn't like all of a sudden the switch goes off. But I became more aware of how I responded, more aware of the fruit of the Spirit of God in my life. To where as I look back, I say, man, some people would never know that I had that side to my life. Very angry, rageful person. Now, that's not because of me. That's because of the love of God within me, the Spirit of God within me. It's not for me to get glory saying, look at what I did. I controlled my life. I changed my life. No, Bill couldn't have done that. The Spirit of God within me changed it. And that's to His glory, so that people see that. We look at the essential fruit. It starts with love. That love, both God's love for us, God's love for mankind, God's love for many. What does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. The fruit of the Spirit is love. God loved us. How can we not love others? God's love valued us. How can we not value others? How can we not demonstrate that love to others? I guess, personally, as a believer, I find it so hard to be racist or prejudicial. It just doesn't seem to add up to me. That if God loved the world, am I to do any less? And to value all people as He values them, longing for them to have a relationship. Now, whether you believe love is the main one and all these others come after it, or you believe they're all equal, let me just tell you some things about them. It says we're to have joy. Now, that's not about circumstances. That's not about the circumstances at all. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that the Lord Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the shame and the suffering of this cross. We have joy within that because joy is not about circumstances. It doesn't mean that life is always happy. It doesn't mean that circumstances are always good. In fact, yesterday, as I explained to the crowd and to the family, we don't have a promise that life is easy or life is fair as they sit there and as they bury their 19-year-old son. Life doesn't seem easy, does it? But as a believer, we can have joy even in the situation and say, I'm not happy about this, but I know that God's glory can be revealed through this in some way. I may not ever see it, but I know it can. To have peace, that we can have the peace of God in our lives. And that peace of God that starts from knowing the Lord Jesus. Romans 5:1, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, that calm assurance, that shalom, that trust that says we trust in God. Are you looking for peace? Man, people pursue peace. Well, this will give me peace. This will give me peace. And what the peace that they miss is the peace of God. Patience. That's always... Some of these are really simple to say, oh yeah, that's why we need patience. This is one that's not so simple to swallow at times. To be patient actually means to be slow to boil. Sometimes some of you need to be patient with God. We want God to move right now. God, I prayed for it 32 seconds ago. Why isn't the answer here? To be patient with God. Some of you need to be patient with yourself. You're human. Loved by God. You're not perfect. And some of you need to be patient with the process and the journey that you're in your walk with God. It takes time to gain mature fruit. I didn't plant a tree and then immediately have it. You don't plant a plant and immediately have it. It takes time. Some of you need to ease up on yourself and say, God, I'm in this journey. I want to honor you. But be patient with the process of God in your life. Obviously, we also need to be patient with others, our kids, our spouse. Be patient. Kindness. This is the one we say, well, patience may be hard, but kindness is easy. I can be kind. I can be kind. It's really easy. And I think maybe that's the hardest one because when you identify kindness, are you kind? Most people see our kindness by the words that we say. Are you kind in your words? When somebody pushes the button, are you kind in your words? Or do you speak venom? The kindness seen in actions. Are you selfless? Are you selfish? Just to be kind. Goodness. That's really goodness when he talks to this is understanding God's sovereignty that he is always good. Understand that God is always good no matter what. God is good. And when we understand that God's sovereignty, it allows us to be thankful in everything. Be thankful and rejoice in everything because we understand that God is in control. And when we have that goodness, now let me explain something here. Because I hear all the time, well, he was a pretty good person. As if that's the qualifier for getting into heaven. Goodness isn't going to get you into heaven. In fact, goodness is displayed in our life is only displayed because Christ lives in our life already. That's what gets us into heaven. Because we've trusted in Christ. Goodness, that sovereignty, understanding God is good. Faithfulness. Faithfulness that God has towards us. Faithful of us towards him through trials and testing that faithfulness that we have to him. Faithfulness in using God's gift. These are the fruit of the Spirit. God also speaks of the gifts of the Spirit that are given to serve. Are you serving? Are you faithful in using the gifts that God has given you to work within the body of Christ? Are you faithful in using and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in your life that is to be seen by the world? Gentleness. Guys sometimes have a problem with this. We think we have to be big, burly, and you know, be macho, and we want to step outside, or I'm not going to take any of that, I'm not going to take this from you. Gentleness doesn't mean that you're wimp, but gentleness means strength and power under control. To be gentle, it doesn't mean you're weak, it doesn't mean you don't have power. But we're to be gentle in our words, gentle in our answers, a soft answer, not harsh with people, gentle, treating people with gentleness. That strength under control. And lastly, gives self-control. This inward strength. The inward strength to make choices. The inward strength to live. The inward strength to know. But I want to also tell you that inward strength that he says to control the tongue. But I think there's another area that we need to have inward strength. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, chapter 6, verse 12. Everything is permissible, he says. He's talking to believers. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by any. Now, he's talking about here that we as believers, we're not tied under the law. We have grace. And everything is, I have the freedom to do what I want to do. God gives us that freedom. But maybe I need to use self-control in knowing when to use that freedom and when not to. Everything is permissible, but not always is it beneficial. Not always is it well-timed. And some of us need to learn self-control, though you may have freedom in Christ to do certain things and to behave certain ways, but there may be some things you say, but it's not necessary right now. It's not going to build up the other person for me to act or do this way. And that is self-control, not abusing the freedom that God has given us. The other thing I notice about fruit is that the idea for fruit is to be plentiful. It is to be shared. Matthew 13:23. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. That word to bear fruit. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The Bible says, unless that seed fall to the ground and die, it will come back to life and produce more. The idea of our fruit is to be plentiful. Why? So that it can be shared. So it can be shared to others. That others will see it. And all of it is to be related to the glory of God. All of it is to be related to the glory of God. I'm not a green thumb. I am thankful for people who can grow. I have an orange tree that I planted in my backyard a number of years ago. I've waited patiently for an orange. Hadn't happened. So I go to the nursery and I ask Heidi, why isn't my tree growing? Oh, you got to do this. Okay, wait, did that, took care of this. Oh, yeah. I began to ask the question, is there a fruitless orange tree? The next question would, why would there be? Orange tree needs to have oranges. So this year I had success. Partially. One orange on the tree. One, right now. And I'm sure that blue jay that keeps knocking on that tree is going to get that orange. It's only about that big around right now. One green, immature orange on a fruit tree that's this big. One orange. I don't think that's the purpose of the orange tree. I think the purpose of the orange tree is to be plentiful so that I can take that orange, we can eat those oranges, I can share those oranges, I can give them away. It's plentiful. And the reality of the fruit is plentiful in our life. It's to be plentiful. People should see it. People should see it and know the difference that we are. It's to be shared. The fruit of our life is to be shared with others. We don't say, God, change my life. I'm engrafted into you, but change my life. And then we put a dome over it. No one can see it. I do know a person who has an orange tree. That tree produces oranges all the time. Listen to me. This is true. And some of you here who know who this person is, and you can just verify it. This person counts the oranges on the tree. He does not want to share any orange on the tree. People will come by, beautiful oranges. If they pick an orange, the wrath is going to fall. He'll watch it. Don't take my oranges, don't take my oranges, don't take my oranges. Now, I know he could never eat all the oranges that came off that tree. There's just no way. No way. But he doesn't want to share it. It's not there to share. It's there for him to be proud of. Look at my orange tree. I got all those oranges up there. It never falls, hits the ground because I'm picking them right now. I know every number. My God, the hair of my head, every orange on the tree is numbered. I'm surprised he's not there with a Sharpie signing them or something, you know? Every orange. Our life is to be fruit bearers. We're to be fruit salad. We're to be the fruit salad. What is your fruit today? What is your fruit? Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, talks about that. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. He goes on to say, because there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. By your fruit, you're going to know, have you been grafted into Christ? Do you know what your fruit is? I've had this picture in my mind all week as I started to We are to be walking fruit salads. I keep thinking of myself, a very large fruit salad, but walking around bearing all these fruits, and then I have a strawberry top on the top of my head, you know, like that's okay. This, some of you say that would be fitting. But the issue is the walking fruit salad. I think it's the coolest thing. Again, I'm not into this stuff, and somebody told me it's called a cocktail tree. That's what I heard. I don't know. But I thought it was really cool because you can find trees now that here's the root. I don't even know what the root is. I mean, it may be, I don't know, maybe it's an almond tree for all I know. But when it comes up, they graft onto it all these different fruits. And you got a peach, you got a peach branch and a nectarine branch and an apricot branch and a plum branch. And I guess we're called cocktail trees. That's what I heard after the first service. I did not know that. But isn't that cool? Because that's to be our life. We're to be a cocktail tree in the fruit sense of the word. We're to be a cocktail, for the, not the other sense of the word, a fruit cocktail tree. They're to see, some of you got that, huh? Yeah, some of you are saying, he's not talking about alcohol, is he? No, okay. You are to be a fruit cocktail tree. We're to walk around, and what should be seen in our life is the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That's what the world, because there's something I noticed today. And I just got it today. I had this sitting down there. People would walk by. They would see that fruit, and it does look pretty darn good, doesn't it? I mean, those who walk by, one person said, are those fake? They look fake. They're not fake. They're real. They're very real. Oh, man, that's good. But I want something today. No sign on this platform, on this little tray. People walked by and they looked at that. And they look around. And pretty soon they'd reach in and they'd take a cherry. No one was brave enough to take the big fruit. But the cherries were gone. You can thank Dave McKenzie that there's only half the blueberries that were in the bowl initially. Because Dave loves blueberries, and so he helped himself to blueberries. And I realized something. That fruit attracts people. And I thought, that's the glory of God. That when we bear the fruit of His life in our life, and when people see that fruit, it will draw people to us that we can share where that fruit comes from. The change in our life is because the Spirit of the Lord Jesus dwells within us. Are we that fruit? Are we that tree that bears the fruit, all of the fruit that attracts the world to us, that says, what is it about you that seems so different? Because you don't react as the world does. For the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we have that and everything else that comes with us? We're going to close in just a moment. I know it's kind of a corny analogy. It's corny illustrations. But maybe sometimes that corny illustration will create within you the understanding, be it student, adult, senior, that the fruit of the Spirit should be displayed in our life. It should be part of us. This morning, if you're here and you don't know the Lord, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, not about being good. It's not about being good. It's about being unrighteous, knowing that we need His righteousness. Give your life to Christ, and we were grafted into that tree, and we, as soon as we're grafted into Christ, we become a cocktail tree to bear the fruit of the Lord Jesus in our life. If God's spoken to you in some way, and we close, there'll be a couple over here at the prayer room to pray with you and to be there with you. There's a prayer request. You can write it down. But as we close, just ask God, God, I want my fruit to be your fruit. I want that's what people to see. And the areas of my life, God, work and change me. Make me mature. Help me to be people of the Word. And then as we close, when we're done, as you come forward, whatever, if you want to take some fruit, I'll try to get my pit off. But it's all been washed. And you can eat whatever you want out of it and enjoy. Because that's really what our fruit is to be about, is God draws people to us because of the fruit of His life in our life. Father, this morning, thank You for the way You love us and care for us. Thank You for grafting us into Christ, the vine. Help us to stay in that vine. That's where we gain our nourishment, our living water. That's where it produces the fruit of our life, which is Your fruit. May it mature in our life. May we be people of the Word. God, I pray for every person here that a simple analogy, though, will have a valuable lesson that will leave changed and different. I thank You so much for those who give every week, God. I thank them, but you also know I thank you that you've moved in their life for growth to give to this church, to meet the needs that we have. I pray you'll continue to move in their hearts and life. I thank you for the way we see you working in people's lives, growing and changing, becoming more like you. May we be the visible representation of Christ to this world. I just pray that you would give us this day. May it be a day that we would focus on you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.